In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our dear friend Judy passed away yesterday morning. It's a good thing that we have her here with us today. In a day when our whole society fears death, when our society tries to dress up death as either something that is non-existent, that doesn't matter, or that is somehow scary, it's good for us to be able to enter into the heavenly worship, because after all, that is what we are doing. The priest at the beginning of liturgy, when he raises up the gospel book, and he says, "Blessed is the kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He's reminding us that is exactly what we are entering into, is the worship of the saints and the angels of God in heaven. And Judy's passing is a reminder for us that she has simply entered more fully into that same worship. And today we join her as well. Now, in today's gospel reading, we hear a familiar story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, both of these men died. Neither the rich man's wealth nor Lazarus' suffering prevented either of their deaths. And Jesus doesn't tell us much about Lazarus. What we do know is that he was begging outside the rich man's gate, that he was poor and hungry, and was content if only he could have the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He was not just ill, but covered in sores, which the dogs came and licked. I don't know how many of you are familiar with dogs' tongues, but they are not soft. They surely would not have been a comfort, but rather an irritant to his already injured and ill situation. Yet he endured these hardships. And he was escorted by angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, the word for bosom is the same word for bay in Greek, a safe harbor for storm-tossed ships. And so Lazarus had been escorted eternally in comfort after patiently enduring a lifetime of hardships. Now, while the gospel does not give us a lot of detail about Lazarus, we do hear a lot of information about the rich man. And this information that we receive is a warning of the consequences of our choices in life. How we live, the choices we make, either bring us closer into communion with God or lead us away from Him. Now we pray when we remember our departed loved ones, that their memory be eternal. And St. Raphael, on his feast day, which we'll celebrate this week, this coming Saturday, we read the Gospel of the Good Shepherd, in which Christ is proclaimed as knowing his sheep by name. He remembers them. He knows them by name. And St. Cyril of Alexandria tells us that when this rich man was not named, then neither was he remembered by God. The gospel does not say that the rich man was a sinner. He didn't attack or berate Lazarus or anyone else. He certainly was not the cause of Lazarus' illnesses, but he did ignore him in his misery and was indifferent to this man sitting at his gate. Wealth itself is not evil. However, how we use it certainly matters. Brothers and sisters, our wealth is not our own. God gives us the opportunities that we have, jobs, promotions, money to spend or save or invest. It has been given to us by God to be stewards and to care for the poor. Now, money may make us happy or comfortable, but we cannot take it with us, and it certainly does not bring us any closer to God unless we use it for Him. The rich man, he feasted sumptuously every day. And I bet that it felt and tasted wonderful at first as he was taking bite after bite and drink after drink. But I also imagine that the next day, after engorging himself, he suffered. And we know that he was never satisfied because he repeated this day after day, again and again. Now we have other examples in the scriptures of wealth. We have the rich young ruler who was told to sell all of his possessions, but went away sad because he could not bring himself to part with his belongings. And we're told that it's easier for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I'm sorry. It's as if trying to put a camel through the eye of a needle. This is how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Wealth is a difficult temptation. It is not impossible, but a challenge. We also have another example of the widow who put in all that she owned. And though compared to others, it was as nothing, it was everything. It was everything to her, and God counted it as everything. Now, brothers and sisters, we have to consider every day and every moment, what is our focus in our life? As Christians, we do not belong to this world. St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians describes us as no longer being sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members with the household of God. This is why we have icons of the saints all around us as a reminder that these are our fellow citizens. It's to God's kingdom that we belong. And yet so often we behave as if this is not the case, by valuing what God has given us more than God himself. In the Gospel of Matthew, Christ challenges us not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, but lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where our treasure is, there will our hearts be also. If I desire to dwell in the house of the Lord, then I must seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. I must respond with loving action. Now today we are given two examples. We have the rich man who passed Lazarus every time he left his house or returned to his estate, whose whole concern was amassing earthly wealth and comfort, not even sharing his scraps. He failed to see the image of God in his neighbor, and in rejecting and dismissing his neighbor, he rejected and dismissed God, whose image was in Lazarus sitting at his gate. On the other hand, we have the example of Saints Cosmos and Damian, the unmercenary healers, who we celebrate today. They serve as a counterexample to this rich man. Now at Vespers, we sing of Cosmos and Damian, having laid up all their hope and expectation in heaven, these two saints have treasured up for themselves a kind of wealth not to be despoiled. Freely did they receive, freely do they give out, healings unto those with maladies. Following the gospel, neither gold nor silver did they acquire, and unto men and unto beasts they showed benefactions and kindness, that they might truly be obedient to Christ through every means. Yet another reason why it's good to come to Vespers in Orthros. We have such richness in the hymns and so much that we can learn of our faith and encouragement from the lives of the saints. For Saints Cosmos and Damian, their only focus, their goal, their hope, and their desire was the kingdom of heaven. That was it. There's a popular Irish hymn that happened to be Judy's favorite. And selections from that hymn read, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art." And in a later verse, "Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art." This gets to the very heart of what we're talking about today. About placing before your eyes, and the only thing placed before your eyes, being the kingdom of heaven. Desiring this above all else, and making that be your treasure, and nothing here on earth above it. Now, in the gospel, we get a glimpse of God's judgment today. And we should ask ourselves, have I lived as a citizen of the kingdom of God? Have I loved those people that God has put at my gates? When we come before Christ in that last day, how will we answer? If I desire God above all else, it becomes easy to recognize the image of God and his kingdom in our neighbor. Now, our Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, invites us to participate in his way of life. Let us enter into it with our whole heart, to the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.